Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Quick disclosure, this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing I say constitutes direct investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any securities. It represents my personal views at the time of the recording, and markets may perform differently than I expect. All investment involves risk, including loss of principal. With that said, let's get into it. This week's podcast is called Seven Reasons Why You Should Avoid Benchmark Treasuries. There are seven reasons to believe long-term interest rates are heading much higher. Of course, there is the obvious conditions of insolvency and inflation. After all, any nation that has $40 trillion in debt, 123% of GDP, and 720% of revenue, $2 trillion annual deficits, annual interest payments that are $1.2 trillion, 20% of revenue, and has been losing the battle with inflation for well over 5 years, must offer higher interest rates to attract new investors. Markets always win in the end. While artificial government manipulations are palliative measures that only exacerbate the problem and delay the inevitable. But there are five other reasons to issue treasury bonds other than our inability to fulfill our debt obligations and get a handle on inflation. First, there is a general mistrust other nations have recently developed with parking their currency reserves in treasuries. And that's because the U.S. has imposed sanctions, confiscation, and frozen assets threats have caused foreign investors to move away from dollar-based U.S. debt. Second, there has been a reduction in trade with the United States, which has simply led to a reduced foreign trade surplus that needs to find a home in treasuries. Third, Japan's cascading yen has led the Bank of Japan to sell treasuries and dollars in an effort to support the currency. Japan is the largest holder of U.S. debt and may need to routinely sell their $1 trillion hoard until the foreign exchange situation stabilizes. Fourth, the U.S. savings rate is just 3%. There just isn't enough money to fund both the trillions of dollars in treasury deficits and rollovers that need to occur, and also fund the avalanche of AI debt issuance. Just the two are crowding each other out. And fifth, the global yield anchors found in Japan and Germany are gone. The BOJ held Japanese government bonds near 0% from 2015 to 2024. Likewise, the German Bund hovered near 0% from 2015 to 2022. However, the Japanese 10-year note now yields 3% and the German benchmark rate is 3.4%. Therefore, the global bond bubble is bursting, which means there is more local competition for treasuries, especially when factoring in currency hedges. Those are the reasons why Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is panicking. He's in full panic mode. It is why he's trying to cajole the Japanese to stop selling treasuries by intervening in the FX market to help stabilize the yen. And why he's proposing to drain the TGA, the Treasury General Account, to buy long-term bonds and threatening to perform Operation Twist, selling more T-bills to purchase longer duration bonds. However, despite his efforts, there should be relentless upward pressure on bond yields until the U.S. addresses its fiscal and monetary problems. Indeed, getting its expenditures and receipts in balance would go a long way in fixing the inflation issue. Regrettably, that is not going to happen with only about 25% of the entire U.S. budget being discretionary. Most people believe a recession would substantially bring down long-term rates. But that probably will not occur because our annual deficits could begin to rise from $2 trillion to $6 trillion once the economy contracts. There just won't be enough savings to satisfy the tsunami of bond supply issuance without immediate and massive central bank intervention. And that amount of money printing would have a humongously negative impact on the US dollar, which underpins our treasury debt. A recession has a very high probability of occurring between now and the end of 2027. This is the first time I've made a recession prediction in many years. I've said often in the past we're heading for a recession, but this is the first time in a long time I'm putting a timeline on it. I did this back in 2006 and was berated and excoriated on CNBC on a weekly basis until the end of 2007 arrived. But between now and the end of 2027, I think that there's a very high probability of a recession occurring. The Fed's long overdue battle with inflation has begun under Chair Warsh. That means there's going to be some combination of higher short-term interest rates and a smaller balance sheet, along with a reduced amount of bank reserve. That is, after all, the only way the Federal Reserve can actually fight inflation. And meanwhile, long-term interest rates continue to rise due to the seven reasons elaborated in this commentary. Rising interest rates, along with a reduction in the Fed's balance sheet, are a devastating blow to the asset bubbles that exist on Wall Street. 80% of consumers have been in a recession for a long time, since the end of COVID. But now the reverse wealth effect from falling real estate and equity prices because of the Fed's actions will bring the top 20% down as well. Not only the Fed's actions, but also this rise in interest rates, which is a dagger to the asset bubbles that are extant. These issues should come to the fore in the next few quarters. The long-awaited great reconciliation of asset prices is finally about to arrive. Meanwhile, we remain net long as of today, as of this recording, Wednesday afternoon. But we have buffers in place. Those buffers are CTAs, precious metals, and a long short position in the NASDAQ. But we remain long gold and miners with less than 10% exposure. The reason why precious metals are not at the maximum level that we have in the portfolio, which is 20%, is because, as I've repeatedly explained, precious metals prosper the most when nominal and real interest rates are falling. That is simply not happening now, but should become profoundly manifest in the next recession, which is when we will go to the 20% level. And that next recession is most likely only months, no longer years away. If your strategy is to buy and hold a 60-40 portfolio until your losses are recouped, good luck.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.